Turn with me, Matthew 13. We were talking about this in adult ed. You know, if you value good teaching, discussion, growing, learning more about the Word of God, background stuff, come on out for that hour of adult ed before service. That's always a hoot. But I was reminded, you know, Jesus wasn't really wordy in his preaching and teaching. And here's a great example. Matthew 13, verse 33. And then I'll add the other notes there too. Jesus told them still another parable. It's only one sentence. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour. That's quite an operation. Until it worked through the dough. And that's it. There's the message. What? Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you again for this gorgeous day. And Lord, we just thank you that we have an opportunity to really dig into the parables a little bit this Lenten season. Lord, your parables say, let those who have eyes see and let those who have ears hear. And so we ask for the help and the power of the Holy Spirit that you would reveal these truths to our hearts. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So again, second Sunday of Lent right now, that's the 40 days plus 6 Sundays before Easter. For those of you who for Lent may be new, again, special time of spiritual preparation, renewal for the followers of Jesus Christ as we move toward Easter. Again, it should be such a practical thing, right? It might be a time when you add a spiritual practice to your life, daily times with Jesus. If that's a new thing to you, we've got a ton of little devotionals. I don't have time. You do have time for a few minutes with the Lord, right? I've said this inelegantly before. I'm just really busy, Jim. It's like, then take one of those devotionals or two and put it in your bathroom. And we'll leave it there. Oh, there's always time, right? You might do that. We've got great NIV study Bibles back there. There's literature back there. All of that's free. You might fast from certain things that are getting in the way or taking you away from the Lord in some way. That can be a helpful thing. Traditionally, disciplines of silence, solitude, and prayer, those are special markers of the Lenten season. But whatever you do or don't do, the point is it's meant to draw you closer to the Lord in preparation for the most important holiday of the year. You know, holiday actually means holy day, right? That's Easter Sunday. Right? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what we're doing this year is we've been focusing a bit on the acquisition of wisdom. And during this season, we're pondering the parables. Matthew 13. Jesus' favorite teaching device was the parable. They're a lot more than just little cute stories. They take common everyday things in life to illustrate deeper and unknown spiritual truths. And in that way, they can teach us much wisdom. But you've got to ruminate on them, chew on them, take time, pray for them, and pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear. So this morning, we are looking at arguably one of the, if not the shortest of all of Jesus's parables, the parable of the yeast, Matthew 13, 33. Just one little idea, but much is there for us this morning. It's also found in Luke 13, right? It's connected with the previous parable we talked about, the parable of the mustard seed. And again, these parables concern themselves with everyday simple items, staple items of every home in Jesus's day, right? We know women would grind and prepare mustard for the family's table, and that bread was a part of every single meal. That's just how it was back then, right? You know, one parable, lots going on, I found. Bread. That is the staple food for most people in most times and places. Nutritious, important, central, full of vitamins, protein, carbs. Most people throughout the face of the earth have bread in some form, right? Simplest breads, grains, wheat, oats, barley, rye, millet, milk, oil, spices, sugar. You can play around with it. We have some bread bakers in the church, and it makes some really wonderful bread, much better than anything you can buy in the store, right? So grain is pounded, mixed with water. A leavening agent is added, stirred into, kneaded into the dough. Now, most people think of leavened bread, bread that has risen or grown in size, whatever, but we do have a couple kinds of bread that doesn't use leavening agents. So did you like show and tell growing up? It's such a waste of time. No, it's not. It was the best time of the day for me. But we do have a couple kinds of bread. I tried to get Jewish matzah bread, flat, unleavened bread. I could not find it last night at Super One. But I did find tostadas. These are good, right? You know, there's tortillas. This is a corn one. There's no leaven in these. Yeah, we got that. And those are two good examples, but the most well-known leavening agent, of course, is yeast. When was the last time you thought about yeast in bread? Probably not, right? I thought yeast, what an interesting idea that Jesus says yeast is like the kingdom of heaven. I kind of promised I wouldn't, but I go back on my promise. I have a lot of bad dad jokes today because it just works with yeast. So here's some puzzling questions I asked myself this week regarding this topic. So if flour, salt, and water and yeast grew up together in jail, could you say that they were bred in captivity? Oh, wait, there's more. If a poor man sold yeast, could you say he did it to raise some dough? All right, one more. Maybe more theologically. If a person died of a yeast infection, would they rise from the dead? Probably not. I don't know. Anyway, so, I know. I got some more. Aren't you lucky? So yeast is a single-celled fungi. It ferments the sugars in carbohydrates. Yeast is also known by the old word as leaven, which comes from the Latin word levare, which means to raise or to rise up. Really simple. Different kinds of yeast have been used for thousands of years by men and women, right? Yeast is added to the batch of dough. It produces harmless carbon dioxide gas bubbles. It causes the bread to rise. It's beaten down. It rises again, gives it a lighter and more volume, in the lighter texture, more volume. Interesting fun fact, it was only in 1868 that commercial yeast began to be made. So before that, as you probably know, bread bakers had to get yeast more in a more natural, spontaneous sort of way from the air. So what they do is they put out a piece of gooey dough. They'd wait for the air, and it would collect the natural yeasts. Now, sometimes those yeasts were pretty nasty, pretty funky, and like, ugh, this is bad, throw this one out. But when they found a particularly good strain, they would hold on to that. And that was called the starter. And they would, I know old guys that would have a bowl in their kitchen with the nastiest, ugliest, wrong color of starter in there because they've been doing it for years and they just keep adding more flour and water and it gets this really disgusting funky look, but they pull it out and it makes some of the best bread. That's how most times in places, that's how they made sourdough bread on the Western frontier. Another way of leavening bread was with the residue of beer and wine. Since fermentation takes place in alcohol, you could use the residues from there. So this got me wondering, if you had a Jewish neighbor who had been moving bags of yeast and some huge empty kegs with some unusual letters and symbols on it in his garage, would you say that Hebrews? Anyway. Anyway, yeah. So yeast risen breads were developed in Egypt about 4,000 years ago. And it's believed that the Egyptians were the ones who really learned to grind the wheat flour that's in a way that we use still today in the commercial sort of milling process. Greeks took it a bit further. They refined the flours to eliminate impurities. They would season their breads, their cakes, their pastries with fruit, sesame seeds, and honey, and developed a special stone oven for baking. This is a little harder to find. I went to Super One and they didn't have it there. In the early Middle Ages, in Northern Europe, where some of us are originally sort of hail from, bakers, because they didn't have a lot of wheat, so they would bake bread with oats and barley and have darker rye and pumpernickels. I like the black bread. Super One usually has it. They didn't have it last night. I was like, ugh. I like the dark breads. But, you know, those kinds of breads, you know, you work with what you got, right? And that's what they had. Now, colonial Americans, did you know, made cornmeal bread. They didn't eat a lot of wheat breads like they do today. They would make, known by different names, cornbread, corn pone, and Johnny cakes, right? It's all corn-based. It was when the Great Plains opened up in American history that was cultivated for wheat growing. That's when we really started eating more wheat breads. Okay, so the message this morning is not really primarily meant to talk about the history of bread making in the world, but I do think it's kind of interesting in light of Jesus's parable. But notice this, the Bible talks frequently about daily matters that are easily overlooked and taken for granted, right? You can't say the Bible isn't practical. And you know, I was digging around my own house yesterday, and I think it's interesting because it's Communion Sunday too, so I thought, that's perfect. I didn't exactly plan on that, but I'd like to take credit for that, but I really can't. But you know, there's sourdough bread. I love sourdough. You wonder what's behind my pulpit. There's wheat bread, right? Yeah. Ooh, Italian focaccia. I like that one. Bagels. You know where the best bagels are made? By Jewish people in New York City. I still miss those. I'd melt in your mouth. This is commercial. It's not so good. But I'll eat it. Because beggars can't be choosers, right, Mom? She's watching. Michigan. And then this phenomena of gluten-free bread. You know, we have more and more people, I think it's because of super strains of wheat, our bodies can't handle it. A lot of people, we've got at least 6 or 8 people in the church that are gluten intolerant or gluten free. My wife, if she ate one of those pieces of bread, she'd be miserable. And she loved her gluten. So that was a big change. So we had to learn to cook differently. And instead of complaining about it, we decided, well, maybe now we should start eating the way God meant us to eat. You know? We're doing the Mediterranean diet for Lent. It's been really hard. She's done fine at it, you know, salads and chicken and fish. She doesn't like the fish, but I do. It's like, yeah, but where's the beef? No, Lent can look different. Got me thinking this week, what does a redneck, beer, and yeast have in common? They're both in bread. I've got redneck roots, I can say that. All right, so what does a redneck have in common with the British royal family? Again, they're both in bread. But anyway, hey, back to Matthew 13:33. You know it's true, don't be all upset like, how did he dare say that? One sentence parable of Jesus. When we read the Gospels, notice, again, Jesus is not usually wordy. He's not long-winded like a lot of preachers. You ever grow up in a church where the sermon's like between 50 and 60 minutes long or longer? What a cruel and unusual punishment, you know? Well, you know, Pastor Jim, sermonettes make Christianettes. Really? What do you do with Jesus' parable of the yeast? One sentence, or the how about his Sermon on the Mount? I can read that in 15 minutes and spend the rest of my life praying about it. How about that? How about give him enough to say, I'd like to hear more about that. And instead of like my wife says, I wish he would have shut up 10 minutes ago. My wife's brutal on long speakers, including me. So I'm still learning. So, you know, it's really interesting. Jesus weighs his words carefully as a teacher, as a preacher. Now, I discovered this week the nerd in me, yeah, and it's true. Yeast occurs about 40 times in the scriptures, but what's really interesting is 35 of these times, it's portrayed negatively. You may have noticed this in your reading of the Word of God. The discussion of yeast begins in the Old Testament story, the Exodus story, Exodus 12, right? You know the story how God's people left Egypt in haste. They didn't have time for what? For their bread to rise. And so whenever Jewish people celebrate the Passover today, they still use unleavened bread called matzah. I love matzah. I learned about matzah when I lived in New York City. We had lots of Jewish friends. And it's this flat, crispy bread. It's great with butter. Just love it. Did you know that New York City is the most Jewish city on the planet? There's more Jewish people there than Jerusalem. In fact, if you take Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, they still don't have as many Jews as they do in New York City. So some of this great food culture we were exposed to. But that's the story of Exodus 12. It goes on to say that whoever consumes bread with yeast during the sacred Passover time was to be cut out or thrown out of the community. That's pretty interesting. That didn't mean that Jews didn't leaven their bread. They did usually, but they weren't supposed to do it. They were forbidden during that sacred time. Now think about this issue as Christians. Even the yeast issue has affected the communion discussion. Do you know about this history over the years? This is kind of interesting, really quickly. Catholic churches believe that only unleavened bread should be used, kind of following Jewish Passover tradition. Eastern Orthodox churches, Greek, Russian, and others, believe that bread with yeast should be used. But Protestant churches like ours said, who cares? Just take communion. Stop fighting. Right? Really interesting. So yeast is usually portrayed negative in the scriptures, which makes Jesus's parable in verse 33 more striking. And here's part of the bringing it together, hopefully. Jesus seems to frequently have turned commonly held notions or ideas on their heads. So if yeast is usually negative in the Bible, he actually says, it can be really positive, right? Just a few words, he captivated his audience in saying that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast in dough, in bread, right? He delights everyday people. He challenges the religious leaders and spiritual matters in a sort of a new and a fresh way. One sentence parable, leavened bread, excellent example. Right? Remember before commercial bread making that we take for granted today, every household made their own bread. That was just something that was done every day, typically by the women. That was part of the food prep job, right? So you take a large amount of hand-ground flour. So you get your grain, you're grinding it, right? And you get a piece of that starter dough that you keep off to the side in the kitchen. And the NIV text says that a everyday woman, normal woman of Jesus' day, took a large amount of flour and added yeast. Now, in the Greek text, it says she took three satas. I did the math. That's over a bushel basket. It's over 36 quarts of flour. So this woman wasn't just making bread for her family. She was probably, this was her side hustle. She was selling bread for other families and they're buying it from her. So she's got a bread business going on. That's a huge batch of bread. Now, keep in mind, there are no preservatives in homemade bread in that time. So the shelf life is pretty short. You eat it quickly. By the next day, it's already hard. That's why the French make croutons out of baguettes and stuff like that. Our store-bought bread can sit on that shelf for weeks before it starts growing a green or blue beard. Maybe we want to think a little differently about our food this Lent. You know, I'm not, he's one of those California granolas. No, I'm not. I'm from Detroit. Hardly. But, I mean, I'm just thinking about food. Now we, Deb and I are starting to eat probably the way we always should have eaten, so it's not such a hard thing. It is a hard thing. I'm complaining about it, but she's doing good with it. But just thinking about our food, you know, didn't they used to say you are what you eat? Oh my, as I'm in Super One yesterday and I'm eyeing the lady at the checkout as she's finishing up, it was almost 10 o'clock, and she's taking home a bag of M&Ms with her, and I'm like on this Mediterranean diet, I'm like, wow, that looks really good. No, it's Lent. Okay, anyway, so this woman hides a little bit of starter in the huge amount of flour, and what does it do? It silently and quietly starts to work inside of the dough. These little single-celled organisms, these little fungi, spread and expand and cause the bread to rise because the dough becomes bigger than itself because of that which is hidden inside of it. Oh, now we're getting to maybe Jesus' point, you know. Great, thanks for telling me about all the bread, Jim. What's the point? The point is the Lord takes the kingdom of heaven is like a little yeast you put inside and it grows. It expands inside, from inside out, right? Everybody knows that flour is the most essential ingredient to bread, but here's the thing, without yeast, there's usually no real bread, right? The power of the leavening agent is absolutely needed. This is why Lent can be such a powerful time. The leavening agent of the power of the Word of God hidden away in our hearts, that's what causes us to grow as human beings. That's why I can't think of a more important thing you can do in your day. It's like, anybody ever read The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence? Great little book. We did it in life group some months back. And Brother Lawrence from the 1600s says, if I could preach one thing, it would be a daily, continuous walk and experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We love coming to church, and you know, some of you love or hate the jokes, or the coffee's all right, and we've got some good food there, and that's all great and all. These are just tools. But walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, prayer, reading the devotionals, being with God's people, this is the foundation of your spiritual, your Christian life, right? That's part of the point. When these things get inside of you, they grow like leaven in bread. That's when you will become an agent of transformation, as Paul talks about, right? An agent of reconciliation. Right? When the Word of God and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is inside of you, there's real change. Deb asked me at the dinner table last night about sort of my approach to human relationships. She said, you pretty much get along with most people. I'm like, yeah, there's a few. But in general, any of you got one of those neighbors? You know those neighbors? But for the grace of God, you know, and all that. I had one of those, and boy, he tested my patience for years. I'm like, I'm not going to give him what he deserves. And then one day he came to the house contrite, and he asked me for a favor. And I was like, oh, sweet. Denied. And he's like, I need to pull apart the fence. I bought a steam shovel. I'm like, a steam shovel? Yeah, I got to move it across, and if I do it on my road, I got to buy tires, and it's going to cost me thousands and whatever, but if I move it across your property, it would be free. And I'm like, oh, sweet, thank you, Jesus. Okay. And you know what? He never forgot it, and last year, he got saved. I would have never been... I was like, you're kidding. He was like, yeah. He said, can we get together once in a while and talk about the Bible? I'm like, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast in dough. You don't know what's going to happen. Don't write people off, right? As if the Spirit of God can't touch their hearts. Oh, that person will never come to faith. They're miserable. They're horrible, blah, blah, blah. Maybe they're closer than you think. Maybe it's time to pay attention to Jesus' parables, the parable of the yeast, hidden inside, growing out. The power of the leavening agent is absolutely needed. Psalm 119, the psalmist says, I have hidden your word where? In my heart, so that I may not sin against you, Lord. Are you hiding God's word in your heart, right? Find that set time each and every day to spend time with the Lord. You know, any of you ever, this is kind of old-fashioned, any of you memorize Bible verses? Great idea. You know, over the years, if there's a verse that strikes me in my devotional time, I'll write it on a 3x5 card. You know, that's so, now you probably have a Rolodex too, Jim. All the young people are like, what's a Rolodex? Google it. Along with rotary phones. Remember that video I showed a few years ago? It was kids reviewing things, and some old guy stuck a rotary phone in front of an 8-year-old. This was hilarious, and said, why don't you text your friend using the rotary phone? You know, there's the numbers and letters on it. And these kids are like, that's number one, and that's a K, and they're doing this for like 3 minutes, and all the old people are just laughing at them. It's like, you can't text on a rotary phone, man. The kids are getting mad. Any of you grow up in a place where the exchanges were nines? Any of you have a party line? Click. Mrs. Jones, I know you're on the phone. Click. You're talking to your boyfriend / girlfriend, whatever. And all of a sudden, click, and she's back on. Remember these things? Young people are looking at me like, what are you talking about? All right, where am I here? Yeah, anyway, hiding God's word in our hearts, vital if we want to be spiritually transformed, if we want to grow in our faith. Again, setting aside time, memorizing key scriptures. I'll tell you what, you know, you memorize those key scriptures, they will come back to you when you need it. I promise, the Spirit of God will use it. But if you're not hiding the word in your heart, how in the world is the Spirit going to cue the truth for you, right? We've got to kind of do our part. We're saved by grace, but we get to choose to walk with Jesus each and every day, hiding that leaven in our hearts, so to speak, concealing it in our bodies and spirits. If you don't have the leaven of Jesus inside of you, you will remain big, gooey lumps of dough, formless and without purpose. How many people do you know in your world that have no purpose in their life? This is the heightened summit of the love of life. Oh man, what are you talking about? Anyway, did you know the word yeast is derived from the old English word gist? You know the gist? I hope that I'm not speaking in riddles to you this morning. I hope that you get the gist of what I'm trying to say this morning. In one sentence, Jesus speaks to us in a picture story of spiritual subversion and power. He takes one of the most common, overlooked things in the world. He calls us to prayerfully ponder things. Lenten season is a great time to do this. Modern external notions of success. What do you got to do and be to be successful in this world? Has it ever dawned on you that most of that is contrary to the Word of God? What kind of person do you want to be? You know, the kingdom of heaven will inevitably grow actively in power, but at the same time, it remains hidden and concealed within the lives of God's redeemed people. What does Paul say? We have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels, clay jars, jars of clay, as the Christian group is called, right? What a great idea. Externally, we are fading, we are breaking down. Some of you know what this is like. But inwardly, we're being renewed each day through the power of God, right? Oh, this is good stuff. So summarize, here's a few key principles we can apply to our lives. Matthew 13:33. Spiritual leaven causes us to rise up and become the people that God called us to be. You know, remember a few years ago, the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven life. Well, that's a way of talking about it. That's all right, as long as it doesn't become mechanical and worldly. But what is your purpose? What is God calling you to? You're like, I'm not sure. Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you he's calling you to hide his word in your heart every day. That I can promise you. That he will lead as you listen and have eyes to see and ears to hear. Spiritual leaven makes us bigger or more significant than we could be on our own. You know, have you ever noticed that selfish people are some of the most boring people you'll ever meet? They're just boring. It's all about me. Well, aren't children so precious, really? Take a toy away from a two-year-old. See how that works out. You know, what are the two words that two-year-olds specialize in? Mine? No, mine. Do you know some people never grow past 2 years old? Have you met a few of these people? They're really boring. It's so sad. When you connect yourself with Jesus Christ, now the world is before you. Oh, good stuff can happen. It may look a little different in your life than mine, whatever. But boy, don't you want to be a part of an epic story? A bigger story? Man, I do. And again, that can look a little different, but spiritual leaven causes us to be more significant, not because of us, but because we're part of the bigger story. Spiritual leaven makes us agents of transformation in this world. That's Paul uses that language. We get to help shift things and shift relationships and culture and that kind of thing. Man, good things can happen when we don't treat people as their sins deserve, right? You might have a grouchy old bitter or come to Jesus Christ and like do stuff for you. He like plows my driveway in the wintertime now. This guy wouldn't give me the time of day when I moved there 12 and a half years ago. It's the power of spiritual leaven, right? Sometimes, you know, we talked about this. Yeah, maybe we'll get back to it another time, but it's like, you know, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is get your butt out of the way of what God's doing. Your physical derriere, as well as all of your butts in life. But God, what about this? But what about that? But what if they do this? How about shut up and trust Jesus? Maybe I should end with that. Just shut up and trust Jesus. Number four, leaven, spiritual leaven, is first hidden inside of us, and then it will make its way outward. It's like Steve Harvey said, you know, when you ever watch his comedy, he could be a little rough at times. He said, stop tripping. God ain't done with me yet. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. He's not done with your neighbor, praise God. Now, if we meditate and understand on Jesus' words in Matthew 13:33, I believe we'll begin to get the gist of his teaching on the parable of the yeast. Gospel of Luke, Jesus says it this way. He said, the kingdom of God is within you, much to the puzzled audience. He's like, what are you talking about? We're waiting for, you know, big Messiah king to come and kill the Romans and all this stuff. And meanwhile, the Savior is right before them. They don't get it. And he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is within you, right? It's within you. And the leaven of the word of God is needed now more than ever as Mosaic Church seeks to be a leavening agent of quiet subversion to the world's values here in the Bitterroot Valley in 2026. You know, your life doesn't have to be, in fact, it probably shouldn't be, some big worldly splash, right? It's hiding leaven, the leaven of the Word of God inside of you, and being the hands and feet of Jesus where you're at. Amen? That's what we get to do here. So let's pray as we move to communion time. Again, we've got leavened bread here. This is great. And we also have a gluten-free option because we don't want to make anyone sick. For those of you who are new here, we partake of communion in the intinction way. It's a very ancient way. You'll come this way, break off a piece of bread, and then dip it in the juice and go back into your seat and spend a little time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the powerful truths of Jesus' parables, picture stories that illustrate deeper and unknown spiritual truths. We pray for spiritual eyes that see and ears that hear. We want to thank you for the privilege we have in being in your house this morning. We want to thank you for the potluck food, and we ask you to bless it as well as the hands that prepared it. And now as we partake of communion with you, we just pray that you would draw us closer to you in this time, that you would hide your word in our heart, and that we would be transformed and become the hands and feet of Jesus to a lost and dying world. And we pray all this in his name, saying, amen.